And so what I'd really love to talk to us today about is the peace of God. Because this is part of who Jesus is. It's part of his identity. He is the Prince of Peace. And we live in a world, don't we, where there is so much turmoil and anxiety and absence of peace that at this time of year, when better to talk about the peace of God? And I love to be able to talk about the peace of God. It's such a beautiful thing. So what I've entitled the message today is Unwrapping the Gift of Peace. Because it is a gift that Jesus has already given us. It's sitting there and it's waiting for us to receive that gift and unwrap it and apply it to our lives. And I adore how the Apostle Paul speaks about peace in Philippians 4, 7. One of my very favorite verses. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All of those words are great, aren't they? I particularly underlined all, because that's pretty good. But the peace of God which transcends, it's bigger than, it goes beyond my ability to understand. So that's the first thing I think is amazing, that it transcends all understanding. And this other word that really got my attention when I was reading it again this last few weeks was, will guard your hearts and your minds. It guards it, it protects it. It sets a watch over your mind and over your heart. That's what the peace of God does that is bigger than your ability to understand. The peace of God is just such a beautiful, wonderful gift. And I would love for us to try and understand and unwrap that a little bit more this Christmas. So what I'd love us to do to try and unwrap that a little is zoom out on that verse in Philippians. We're going to look at Philippians 4, 1 to 9. And then we're just going to work our way through it and just see, okay, are there barriers to me experiencing the peace of God? Are there things that I need to deal with and unwrap to get to the peace of God? So I'm just going to start reading and let's see how we go. So he kicks off like this. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I pleaded with Euodia, I can't really pronounce that, and I pleaded with Syntyche to be of the same mind and in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. I really love Paul's letters because they're so relational. They feel really personal. When you stop and try and understand what he's saying, he's writing a letter to people that he has relationship and connection with. And he's talking into this situation where there's these two women who are obviously quite prominent in the church, who hold some form of weight in the church, but they're not on the same page as each other. There's clearly a disunity that is going on between these two ladies. And Paul is saying he's pleading with them for unity in Christ. And I just think for us, in the context of unwrapping the peace of God, that really poses us some interesting questions. How are our relationships? Are we holding on to hostility towards other people and expecting to receive the peace of God? Because I think if we want to unwrap the peace of God in the context of this scripture, this is really bringing our attention to relationships. If we're holding on to hostility, do we honestly expect to receive the peace of God to guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ Jesus? I would suggest if we're holding on to hostility, my suggestion is that actually that's going to create a bit of a barrier to us encountering the full, wonderful, life-changing, beautiful, amazing peace that goes beyond our understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. And it's interesting because I think the Apostle John goes even further in what he says. I was just writing something down as we were worshipping. It won't come up on the screen. It's just here. So John 15, I need my Bible. John 15, 12. I should have been more prepared, sorry. This is what happens when the Spirit says something last minute. You have to go with it. Stand by. Nearly there. So John 15, 12 to 14. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And then verse 17, this is my command, that you love each other. John writes further in 1 John 2, 9 and 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So again, if we've got hostility, if we're not loving our brothers and sisters in the Lord, if we know that we've got beef with people, are we going to really expect to receive the peace of God? I think the clear answer is a no. So for some of us here, we might be feeling, do you know what, actually? Yeah, you're right. I recognize. I look back on the year that was, and I look forward to the year that's coming, and I know that I've got things in my heart that I'm unsettled with. I'm carrying hurts. I'm carrying disappointments. And I know that's preventing me from experiencing the peace of God. And if you know that's you, I just want to encourage you. That's a great first step, is just to acknowledge that. To be honest with yourself. To be honest with yourself that you're carrying these hurts and these things are still niggling you. They're still, you know, making you feel unsettled. To acknowledge it with yourself and then take it another step further and bring it to your Heavenly Father who loves you. And bring it and lay it completely at his feet. No one is saying that those things didn't matter or that the hurt that you are experiencing is not justified at all. But God commands us then to forgive. And that's where the freedom is. And this is not a message exclusively on forgiveness, so I need to move on from that. But if you know that's you, I really want to encourage you to speak to someone about that, because that could be such a key for you as you move away from this year and into next year to walk forward in freedom and peace and enjoy everything that God's got for you. I'll leave that with one with you to consider as we get back to the passage. So we get back to verse 4 now. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He means it. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And just a little, just slight pause there, that line there, let your gentleness be evident to all. Again, I just feel that underpins the last point. If you've got hostility in your heart towards other people, what's going to flow out of you? Is gentleness going to flow out of you if you're holding hostility in your heart? Anyone think that's going to happen? Ain't going to happen, is it? So if you want to follow what the scripture is saying and be known for gentleness, what a great thing to be known for. Are you known for gentleness? If not, okay, what are you known for then? That could be a challenging question to ask. You know, is gentleness flowing out of you or is hostility flowing out of you? The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Come on. This is it. It's not just a fridge magnet. It's not just a bookmark, little bit of scripture that we have to go, oh yeah, God, I want your peace. There's stuff that Paul is encouraging us to do here to unwrap the gift of peace. There's an interesting connection here, isn't there, where he talks about rejoice always. And I say it again, rejoice. He means it. He says it twice. He really wants us to be thankful and rejoice. And the connection there with rejoicing and anxiety is an interesting one. I know that on Remembrance Day, I threw out a one-liner that I've had a lot of conversations with people about that sparked a lot of interest. So the concept being that in your brain, the part of your brain that deals with anxiety is the same part of your brain that deals with gratitude. I chucked that out as a one-liner. I had lots of interesting conversations. I've looked into it a little bit more. And praise God, everything I've looked at confirms that is true. Hopefully we've got a little graph. I don't know if you can see this. So in the middle here, so this is from, I think it's called Psychology Today. This is a secular psychology magazine online. There was this report into gratitude and the impact that gratitude has on the brain. Okay, so if we start in the box over on this side here, it says, so gratitude in the brain fosters cognitive restructuring by evoking positive thinking. I mean, that sounded quite good to me. I was quite happy with that one. The one at the top, wires and fires new neuro connections to the bliss center. I thought, I'm not entirely sure what the bliss center is, but it sounds good. And then enhances dopamine, serotonin, and the neurotransmitters responsible for happiness. It's almost like God knew what he was doing when he put our brains together. But the last one, which was just the mic drop moment, I'm not going to drop the mic because I've got lots more to say, but reduces fear and anxiety by regulating the stress hormones. Amen. That's how God has made your brain. And science and psychology is confirming that and backing that up. So when it says rejoice always, don't be anxious, there's point to it. That actually as our gratitude goes up, our anxiety goes down. Does anyone want to try that this week? I've been talking to lots of people about this, and people I've been speaking to have been trying different things in getting more grateful and seeing the results of it. I was having a really great conversation with someone, and we were talking again about the next bit of the passage that talks about present your stuff, you know, present your prayers. And we were talking about, I was talking to someone who's struggling with anxiety, and we were trying to encourage him to think more about the things he's grateful for and focus less on the things that he's anxious about. And so what he was doing, and he made a gratitude list. So he wrote down, physically wrote down, all the things that he knows he's grateful for. And so that every day he would read those, on difficult days in particular, he'd read his gratitude list, go down it and just speak it out, and just gradually feeling the anxiety kind of easing away. And the thing that he said that was so interesting was the fact that it was written down was helpful, obviously, because when he's feeling very low, he had something he could go to. But what happened was, in terms of presenting it as a prayer, he felt he had a physical thing that he was presenting and offering to God. And having this practical, physical thing that it was an offering to God, it talks about us presenting our requests with thanksgiving. And I want to encourage us, guys, it really does make a difference when we're thankful for things. And so I want to encourage, you know, who wants to be more joyful? Who wants to experience more of God's peace? The easiest thing in the world to do would write down some stuff that you feel grateful for and pray it every day. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this situation. Thank you, God, for this situation. And in talking to this chap I was talking to, what happened was, where he had almost like had the blinkers on the anxiety and the things that were the difficult things. As he got more grateful, the blinkers started coming up a bit. And that situation was still the same, but he was able to see other things going on as well. And the more grateful he got, the more he's able to see other things going on. Situations are still hard, things are still going on in our lives, but actually when we get more grateful, what happens is, and we rejoice in the Lord always, is we lift our gaze a bit more. We go, wow, God, this is still hard, help me with this, I need to deal with this still, but actually look at all this other stuff that's going on, and I'm so grateful for it. Guys, how do you want to finish this year? You know, I like to, at this sort of time of year, I like to look back on the year that was. You know, kind of have a bit of a review. How am I doing? What's going on? What am I thankful for? What are the challenges? What can I do better next year? Who wants to walk into a new year with more freedom, with more grace, with more connection with God, with more unwrapping, more peace? Does anyone want that? You're in the right place, Tony. Yeah. Amen. By every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And this is another thing as well, is how's our prayer life? Do we really expect to unwrap the gift of peace without praying for it? And often the Sunday school answers are the best. What do? Read your Bible, pray. It works. It really does work, guys. So, you know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm tempted, but I won't. But it would be so good to start the new, you don't even have to wait for the new year, but to write a gratitude list out and just see what difference it makes. Talk to people in your small group about it. Do this as a small group, guys. Chat in your small groups. Challenge each other. Encourage each other. Like, who's going to write a gratitude list? Okay, let's encourage each other as we do that. What a great thing to do. Moving back into the scripture, says this, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters. Don't get excited by the word finally. I've got more to say. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. What are we filling our minds with? Every one of us have to wrestle with this question. What are we allowing in here? What do we fill our brains with? What are we giving airtime to? Are we watching horror movies and expecting to receive the peace of God? It's not going to happen. Are we looking at porn sites and expecting to receive the peace of God? It's not going to happen. Are you going to sit back over your Christmas break and sit on your phone and scroll your way through Christmas? You will not find peace doing that. Richard. Thank you. I will. Amen. Let's do this. Are you going to have? I heard an illustration. Many of you would have heard this before, particularly in around the youth group. There was an illustration they used to use a lot about the coffee pot. So a clear coffee pot that's half filled with coffee. If this is representing your brain and it's all just dark and you know can't see through it at all because of all the stuff that's in there. If every day you put an ice cube in, over time that's going to start to clear and you're going to start to get some clarity on some stuff. So those ice cubes are like, you know, coming to church, having good fellowship, getting truth in us, reading the scripture, worshiping. And over time, what will happen is your brain will clear. Your brain will get cleaned up. But what won't work is you go, oh, put a bit of scripture in and watch a horror movie. And that's another bit of coffee, get black coffee going in. You know, have a good time of worship, watch some porn. It's not going to work like that, guys. What you have to do is you have to stop doing the nonsense and just concentrate on the truth. And over time, what happens is your brain will clean up. It takes commitment and effort, which leads us on to the next bit, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. That's not passive, is it? Put it into practice. Do it. And do it again, and then do it again, because you're not going to get it first time, so you do it again. So if you want to get good at stuff, what do? You keep doing it, and you do it again, and you do it again, because it works. Because there's not another way. There's not another way of getting to good mental health. You want good mental health, you come to Jesus. It's right here. All this stuff is right here in the Bible. We've had this for so long. This is gold, isn't it? You know, we want great mental health, we come to Jesus. And so here's just the other thing that blew my mind on this again. I was just so happy when I saw this. And it said this at the end, and the God of peace will be with you. What a lovely landing point. The God of peace will be with you. So, in many ways, it's not about us unwrapping the peace of God. It's more us unwrapping the God of peace. So if we go chasing, I need peace, I need peace, I need peace. I need that peace that passes all understanding. The way you get it is by having the God of peace, which is exactly what we celebrate at Christmas, isn't it? That's the point. Emmanuel. God with us. We get God with us, so we are not on our own. We are not lonely ever. God is always with us, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus came in the flesh. He knows us. He knows the difficulties we experience. He knows the physical, emotional difficulties that we go through. He experienced them, so he can relate to them. So when we come to him in prayer, he understands. He knows what it's like for us to be hurt and injured and upset. He knows. He's with us. We get the God of peace. We're never on our own. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
What a gift Christmas is. Is anyone happy to know Jesus today?
Yes.
And I want to kind of land really and just pick up on what Ange brought just before we finish worship. Ange was saying, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know this peace that I've been talking about, if you don't know this person, Jesus, who brings all these things, today is a really good time for you to know him. If you, in the moment when Andrew's speaking, you're like, oh, you knew that there was something wrestling inside you, but the moment passed, in a moment you're going to get another opportunity to do that. So what I'd love to do is I just want to encourage us all to stand, if we're able to stand, and I just want us to pray for a bit about all of this stuff. Just pray about all this stuff and just say, thank you, Jesus. If you feel, if you want to, you can open your hands like you're ready to receive a great gift. Open up our hands and just say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Lead us now, we pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for the amazing gift of Christmas, where we remember and we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, the God of peace that stepped out of heaven and into our messy world, our messy situations, that can relate to us, the relational God of heaven who reached out to us and said, I love you. Where God reached out at Christmas and said, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, you are the wonderful counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, Jesus, would you come into our hearts now? Come into our hearts now, Lord God. Fill us afresh. again, picking up on what Andrew brought, if you know that shoe, what I'm going to do is just, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Just going to encourage you to pray along with me where you are. Yeah, Jesus, I acknowledge that you came to earth as a baby, that you are fully man and fully God, that you took on the whole sin of the world, including my sin, so I could have connection with the Father. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. I'm sorry for all the hurt I've caused others, and ask for your forgiveness now. I want to unwrap the gift of peace this Christmas. You know, I feel for some of us as well that maybe we need to repent of some of the stuff that maybe has come up this morning. If we know that we're holding on to hostility towards other people, for some of us we need to repent of that and bring it towards our Heavenly Father and just say, Lord, you know the situation, you know I've been hurt, you know what I've been through, but Lord, I also see that I am holding on to hostility, and that is not what you command me to do. So Lord, help me process that. I want to take those steps. I choose to take those steps that you command me to take, and I know that your freedom follows those steps, because what you have for me, God, is good, and where I am right now is not good, and I want to walk with you on your path to your goodness for your glory. So because of that, Lord, I choose to forgive those people for what they did. And I lay it at the cross now. I choose to do that, and I want to walk into the new year in a greater level of freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you just increase our gratitude today? Would you give us the strength to guard our minds, to be careful about what we allow in? Would you give us the motivation to practice these things and to do it as your word says, to put these things into practice, to understand what is our responsibility and understand what is your responsibility, Lord, and say, yeah, I'm going to take my responsibility and I'm going to deal with this stuff, and I'm going to fully expect the peace of God to come. And so now I just pray for the peace of God that transcends all understanding, to come fill us, to guard our minds, to guard our hearts, to keep us safe. Lord, that we will encounter your peace in a new and beautiful and intangible way. And Lord God, that strength and freedom will flow from that place.